Hello and welcome to this podcast where we're interviewing candidates standing in the general election in the three constituencies in the London Borough of Enfield. In this particular podcast, we'll be interviewing Benjamin Maiden, who is standing as the Green candidate in the Edmonton constituency, and I'll be interviewing him with Elaine Graham-Lee. The first question we ask him is whether he felt that climate change was the most important issue in this general election. We're doing the interview on behalf of the Enfield Climate Action Forum because we believe that climate change is crucial if we're going to save our planet by the end of the century. So we ask him what he thought about that.
Well, I think it's, thank you for having me, by the way. I think it's a very important issue because it does cause incredible amounts of global devastation, catastrophe, in fact. It hasn't gone that far yet, but we've seen it before. Humanity hasn't seen it before because we've only been around for several thousand years, but there were times of incredible climate change before this one, and they caused mass extinction. What the humanity hasn't realised, or the scientists have realised, but most of the general populace haven't actually clocked, is that we're in the middle of a global extinction at the moment, to the point of the fact that the movement is called Extinction Rebellion. It's not a rebellion against a future extinction, it's a rebellion against the one that's happening right now. If we don't stop climate change very soon, we will be a species that becomes extinct, along with every hundreds of species that has become extinct every single day. So I don't think it's just a critical issue. It's something that needs to be stopped, not just as a political issue, not just as an environmental issue, but just as an issue that affects everything and everyone alive today.
Okay, Elaine.
So, I don't disagree with any of that, but and the Greens have been saying this for decades, and there hasn't yet been a general election in this country where climate change was a major issue. Do you think in some ways that's a failure of the Green Party, that they haven't managed to get their message across?
Well, that's not a failure of the Green Party specifically. I mean, it's been on our manifesto over and over and over again for a very long time. It's not that we're not trying to get our message across. We don't have a lot of representation, though we've got increasing representation now with our City MP and Associate, our MEPs, and the local councillors, all of which have had increasing gains in recent elections. Well, locals and the Euros earlier on this year were, you know, a real boon for the Green Party. And across Europe, in fact, the Greens, the FA, sort of conglomerate of MEPs, have been pushing that issue. I don't think the Green Party has been failing to do it. I think the problem is with the failure of the other parties to actually take on the message that we're trying to put across. I think if we have more representation, I think we'd get the message across with a louder voice. And that's why I think we need more Green MPs.
But, I mean, you say that, and it could be the failure of other parties, but, and you say that your message doesn't get across because of the system we're in, but, you know, scientists after scientists, 99% now, are saying we have a problem, a real problem. It's in the news every day. And you printed a very dismal scene of our future. And if that's the case, why isn't everyone rushing to vote for the Green Party?
Because people don't know what we stand for. People see us as a single issue party. And those of us who aren't invested in climate change, and there shouldn't be many of us who are, but the sad fact is that a lot of voters just don't worry about climate change. And those of us who aren't interested in climate change don't see the Green Party standing for anything else. So the general rush of voters to vote Green will be the ones who are concerned with the environment. We have many other policies, but obviously they're not thinking about that. They're thinking about whatever else they're thinking about. So I think the main issue is, yes, if you care about climate change, you should be voting Green. And if you care that much, you probably will be voting Green. I've had, because I work with young people, I mean, I'm, you know, in the school I work at, and I've had, you know, children of 9 or right saying, why are we doing anything about climate change? You're a Green Party member, Mr. Maiden. What are you doing? I said, well, I'm standing in the election. I've got literature. I'm talking to people about climate change every day. And they say, well, if I was 18, I'd vote for you. Well, I'm like, yes, but you're not 18. You're 8. Okay? In 10 years, I'm standing again. By all means, vote for me. But, like, the issue is that young people are keyed into this. They're not old enough to vote. Okay? So those of us who are old enough to vote, if they're voting about climate change, yes, they might consider voting Green. But a lot of people aren't. And that's why they're not voting Green, because they think we're a single-issue party, whereas actually we're not.
Okay, Elaine?
So I suppose the obvious question is what do you do about this? Because, I mean, this is something that obviously the right wing says often to Greens and to the Green Party. I think there's a quotation from a national newspaper where they referred to the Green Party's dogmatic and doom-laden approach that simply will not gain enough public support till it's too late and disaster is upon us. So, you know, how do you change that around? How do you make this relevant to people who have had 10 years of austerity and who, as you said, have other things to worry about than the climate?
Okay, well, that's really asking two questions there. The first, I can tie them together. It's fine. I'll try to tie them together. The first thing you mentioned, 10 years of austerity, that was nothing to do with us. That was the Tories who brought that in, backed up by the Lib Dems in coalition. We've had 10 years of quite unsteady and uncertain political times because of that. I think that the Green Party have always been against austerity. We're a left-wing party. We don't agree with cuts. We don't agree with any of the austerity measures that have been brought in. We think it's a terrible idea. I think if people are keyed into that idea, okay, then they might want to listen to other things we have to say. We have to appeal to a broader spectrum of political voters. Those of us who have read our manifesto or our pledges or our policies might be aware that obviously one of our major policies is the climate change disaster, and we'll be more keyed into what we have to say about that and get that message across. But we do need to be able to talk to more people. We need more people to be able to listen to what we're saying. And for that, we need to engage people. We are a people party. We are powered by people. We're not powered by large companies. Or, you know, all the donations come from within the party itself. I mean, it's the party members who really make up the bulk of what we're able to do. So we need to engage people to listen to us rather than just having them dismiss us as an ineffective party. I would question your mention of a national newspaper. I wouldn't call what you just mentioned a newspaper at all.
Okay, we got that point. But Benji, you're saying that you've got a very extensive and ambitious program, and in your last manifesto, you said you wanted to reduce our carbon emissions to zero by 2050. And lots of analysts said that's impossible financially, it's difficult. Now you want to do it by 2030. Is one of the problems people don't believe that you can do that? Can you convince people on here that that is possible to do?
A lot of people are of the opinion that that is impossible because of the financial and structural alterations that would need to be made. I mean, it's a huge scale, okay? But 2030 is over a decade away. And a lot can be done in a decade. A lot can be done in a year. A lot can be done in a month. Okay? If we start now, and I mean now, okay, or at least after December, if we start now, then we can do things like build sustainable housing, like don't build anything that emits carbon, stop things like, for example, things like heat and power generators, which emit carbon, stop the building of the incinerator in Edmonton, replace it with a recycling plant, that sort of thing. If we start these things now, then we can aim for that. The way that things are being going at the moment shows that it's impossible because people are still building things like houses which aren't sustainable and things like, you know, the dangerous incinerator and things like, you know, carbon emitting, you know, power generators and other things. That's why it seems impossible, because we're not dealing with it now. If we start now, yes, we can reach that target. It's very ambitious, but, you know, let's be idealistic about this. If you get the amount of interest, we can do it. We have to do it together as a country, okay? If we don't do it together, we won't do it at all. So let's try and do that together. And if it works, it works.
Okay, Elaine?
So you talk about housing, and this is obviously one of the big jobs is not just building new sustainable housing, but retrofitting the existing housing stock. But we've seen in the response to Grenfell, where 2 years after the Grenfell disaster, there are still people in tower blocks with flammable cladding. We've seen how difficult that is and how it often ends up with people who don't have very much money being required to pay thousands and thousands and thousands of pounds for works that they really have no control over. So how would you get rid of some of those obstacles to get the retrofitting done that we need to get done?
This is interesting because in Edmonton, we have a lot of people living in tower blocks. In some areas, we've had people having been evicted from tower blocks because they're being rebuilt. Now, the up until recently, I worked in Pont des Ems, which is just north of Edmonton. And it had the Armour Estate, which was entirely made of tower blocks, which we did have the cladding, which is unsafe. And I worked on Oasis Academy Hadley, which is just across the road from the Armour Estate. And we had families being, I wouldn't say forcibly evicted, but relocated, shall we say, is the bowdlerized term for what was happening to them because of that. And they were just going to rebuild the tower blocks. There was no indication that they'd be rebuilding them with sustainable power source. There was no indication of solar panels, okay, or anything else that would happen to that. So for existing tower blocks like the ones in Edmonton that are not being rebuilt, okay, we do need to retrofit. It's not impossible, and that's the message I want to get across to people who say, you know, the Green Party policies are, you know, they're just idealistic and they're not going to happen. Nothing is impossible, okay? Retrofitting is difficult, because we've got buildings that have already been built. I mean, the house that I'm in, and I have been through house after house after house, because obviously I'm a millennial, so I don't get a lot of choice in housing. I'm currently in a Maisonette, which is very, very good, because up until recently I was living in successive share houses because I couldn't afford anything else, which is a major problem as well. The long generation rent, we are getting shafted by dodgy landlords because they've got our money, you know. The house I'm in has been recently redone, and they didn't retrofit it with anything sustainable because they didn't think it was financially viable. We need to push this. It's not just a viable thing, it's a necessary thing, okay? We need to get things retrofitted. If we can't do that, then at least we can make sure that new builds are sustainable.
Okay.
So one step at a time, I think.
Okay. Benji, you're standing as a Green candidate in Edmonton, and I've been told I must ask you this. Incinerator. They're building a new incinerator in Edmonton. There is a protest group against it, and there are other people who are also ecologically friendly saying it's the most ecological, efficient incinerator that's ever been built. Where do you stand on that?
Okay. So the incinerator is being built around the Angel Road area, which is part of the Meridian Water development. Now, Meridian Water is intended to provide new jobs and homes for hundreds of people. That doesn't mention anywhere on the plan that the incinerator is going to be built nearby there. Now, an incinerator creates something called airfill, which is like an aerial version of landfill. The pollution doesn't go onto the land like it does in, for example, a rubbish dump or a landfill site. It creates pollution in the air, which then descends into the air that we breathe. An incinerator is an effective way of disposing of non-recyclable waste, but it's not an ecological friendly one. Because of the air fill it creates and the amount of toxic air, and let's remember also, Edmonton is incredibly toxic in terms of the air we breathe. It's one of the most polluted boroughs in London, and Edmonton specifically in the east side of the borough is quite toxic. And I work in a local school in Edmonton. I'm working in M9 in a school with primary school children who are breathing air which is not safe to breathe. Introducing an incinerator in the area would be catastrophic for the air. It would cause deaths. It would cause asthma attacks. It would cause COPD. I'm a nurse, so I know how damaging that could be. And I think that if we build something like that, it will be really bad for everything and everyone. I know there are very few other ways of getting rid of non-recyclable waste, but we need to tackle non-recyclable waste head on so we don't have to build something like an incinerator. I'm completely against the incinerator. I know there's an issue with rubbish in Enfield, but we need to sort that out, and we need to sort that out now so we don't have to build something which is so dangerous and deadly.
Okay, that was fairly emphatic.
Also do me, but that's, yeah.
I think you definitely said you're against it. Okay, Elaine.
Yeah, so I wanted to ask you another Edmonton-specific question, really, because there is sometimes this perception about climate change that it's a middle-class issue, that, you know, only middle-class people care about it, working-class people don't care about climate change. You know, you're standing in the most working-class constituency in Enfield. Is that your experience when you've been out campaigning? Do people care about climate change? Are you hearing do people talk to you about climate change? Do you think it's a fair idea that people in Edmonton wouldn't care about it as much as people in Enfield Southgate maybe?
Well, it's an interesting question because Edmonton does have quite a broad spectrum of people. If you're going to define people by class, which you probably shouldn't do, if, for example, I live in Bristol Park, which is clearly the most affluent area in Edmonton, I think, and in Bristol Park people are always talking about climate change because it is a relatively middle class area, and they're Guardian readers and they're clued up, you know, it's kind of like that sort of thing. Interestingly enough, though, when I've gone to talk to people in, say, Jubilee, okay, or Lower Edmonton, or the deprived isn't the area, but it isn't the word, but areas that might be more geared towards skilled workers, for example, rather than the mercantile class, green concern has not been for climate change, but it's been for things like green spaces. I've heard people saying, are you going to save, you know, the Jubilee Park, you know, association? I've said to people saying, are you going to do anything about dogs fouling in Berry Lodge Gardens? Are you going to do anything about the road open space that we're closing? Are you going to keep it open? So they do have green issues in mind. I have had a few people asking about climate change. I have a few people saying, you know, what's the pollution like in Enfield? Sad to say, it's not a question I'd like to answer because it's not a good answer. But I've had a few people saying that. The main feedback I've had from most people in Edmonton is actually relatively positive. They often say, oh, the Green Party is a great party. I'm thinking of voting for you. If only you had some more policies, I would. There's plenty of policies. And I've had actually a lot of people from BAME backgrounds saying, you know, I've had some people from the Muslim community saying, you know, you stand for minorities, we're not getting representation from anyone else, I'm going to vote for you. And I've had people from the British community say that too. Climate change is mentioned, but it's not the only thing that is mentioned. I do like to get it into something if somebody asks. But I think,
A couple more questions. We're getting very close to the end. Elaine mentioned the class issue. What about the generational issue? You teach in the school, and a lot of young people are worried about whether they'll survive at the end of the century, the young people. But older people are saying, well, I've saved up for my life, and you're trying to destroy that. How do you tackle this generation issue?
I don't need to tackle the younger generation because they're very woke and they're very clued to what's happening. And also, a lot of generations around, I mean, my generation, Generation Y, we're fighting for it. Generation Z, the ones growing up at the moment, and Generation X as well, I mean, the grew up during the 80s, they're all kind of into it. The older generations, for example, do say, as you say, I've saved up for my life and I try to take it away. We're not trying to take anything away. We're trying to save lives. We're trying to make the planet habitable, okay? Fair enough, you may not be alive to see 100 years, but if we don't start now, the generations that I'm teaching aren't going to be alive to see another 100 years, okay? So, they need to think about the future. We are, and there's no reason you shouldn't just because you're older.
Okay, right, we're getting close to the end. So, Elaine, Your last question.
Very quick final question. So, Green government sweeps to power, 13th of December. What's the first thing they should do?
Revoke Article 15. That's the first thing they should do. Because we need the European Union more than ever. It's not just a political issue, it's a climate issue as well. And it's the best thing we should do.
Okay, well, that was pretty concise and pretty direct. So thank you for doing that. I mean, we've come to the end now of the three interviews this evening of all the Green candidates in the London Borough of Enfield in the three constituencies. So thank you, Elaine, for helping. And Benji, thank you for doing that. And I'm glad you got on with the technology. That worked okay. We got you there. And, you know, it was a good interview. So thank you for doing it. And
Thank you for this interview, Francis.
Okay, well, thank you. And I hope those who watched it enjoyed it as well. Anyhow, we'll end this interview now.